This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Buckethead. This is episode 93. My name is Connor Lamons. I'm here with my co-host, Justin Golba. It's Feast Week, Justin. This is one of the best sports weeks of the year. You have all of the big invitational tournaments going on in college basketball. You've got Maui. I think Battle for Atlantis starts this week. Correct me if I'm wrong. Of course, the biggest one of all is the Emerald Coast Classic that everybody waits for all year long. As well as NFL football is still overlapping. You've got all kinds of stuff to watch. But I have a feeling that you have something to talk about that has nothing to do with any of that.
Yeah, Connor, I'd like to make an apology. I kind of died on the hill this offseason, if you listen to this podcast, that I think Michigan State is going to win the conference. I no longer believe Michigan State is going to win the conference. I'm not even positive Michigan State's a good team at this rate. I don't think they're a bad team, Connor, but they need AJ Hogard to, first of all, apparently relearn how to play basketball, and they need to learn how to shoot the ball. I'll keep it short on this one, but after watching Purdue, we're currently watching Purdue play Gonzaga at the Maui Invite, and while Zach Edey has been underwhelming, to say the least, Purdue is still playing a pretty good game against Gonzaga. Purdue is by far the best team in this conference. It's substantially not even close. And I would like to apologize to the Purdue fans that I picked Michigan State. And I think Michigan State fans would agree with me.
That's all. I'm going to find the Kermit the Frog meme where he's like sipping the tea in the, like with the sunset behind him, and I'm going to put my face over it. And every time that you tweet about Michigan State from the Buckethead's account, I'm just going to quote tweet it with that meme. That's what I think I'm going to do.
Hey, look, Connor, sometimes we're all wrong, right? Sometimes you think Wisconsin's going to suck and win the Big Ten. Sometimes I think Michigan State's going to win the Big Ten and they suck. Who knows?
It's early, and I haven't had any bad takes yet, so I'm going to go ahead and just say that I have not been wrong yet this season. But
I remember you being pretty high on the hill about Maryland with me. I don't know about that.
Hey, there's still plenty of time for Maryland. I'm not jumping ship on the Turtles yet.
47-16 at one point, Villanova led Maryland.
Listen, death taxes and Maryland getting their shit kicked in the first couple weeks of the season. Didn't they lose to UCLA last year by like 28 or something to start the season?
Sure.
I don't know. No, like they did. That was a rhetorical question. They did. Last year they lost it. They lost to UCLA by like 27, like the first week of December. And I was like, holy hell, this is a bad team. And they were fine. where was I going with this? Oh, yes. During the Michigan State, I think it was the Butler game. I was watching them play Butler. And I'm pretty sure the broadcast said, like, at the time, AJ Hogard was shooting like
bad
19% overall and like hadn't hit a three yet. And I know it's only through like three or four games, but like, if you are shooting 19%, that's a pretty specific number. It means that you have taken enough shots, like right. through four yeah. games.
It's not like 20 it's not or like 25.
Right. Yeah. It's not like, oh, he's shooting 20% this year because he's 2 for 10. Like,
yeah.
19 is like, means he's probably taken a lot of shots and he's missed a lot of them. I've never thought he was that great. Like, he's a good defensive player, I think, question mark, but I've just never thought he's that great. So when people were like, oh, Tyson Walker and AJ Hogard, like, that's one of the best backcourts in the country,
I'm just saying, like, you don't say people, I said it, you know, it's
let's just chill on that a little bit. But
I'm the problem, it's me, I know.
Yeah. And that was an overreaction by you, Justin. That was an overreaction by AJ Hogard and Tyson Walker.
What a transition, Connor. Do you want to do that now?
Yeah, we can start with that. Justin,
I have an idea.
Justin has an idea to put me on the spot, since I typically put him on the spot.
It's not really putting you on the spot either, because it's a fun little tradition. Not tradition. But, like, you know, you can't really be wrong with these, so that's why it's fun. So what I'll do is, I got four questions lined up, and we're about through 2 weeks of college basketball now. This is where people like to really overreact and say things that don't make any sense. So what we'll do is, I'm going to give you four questions, and I just want you to say whether you think it's overreaction or not. Okay,
so is it a statement or a question?
I guess it's both.
Okay.
There's statements okay. and questions. There's one question through okay. statements, I guess you'd say.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, the first one is related to our Ohio State Buckeyes. And I actually can back this up. This isn't just me being positive. Is Ohio State the second best team in the Big Ten? Is that an overreaction? If I say Ohio State is the second best team in the Big Ten?
Yes, that is an overreaction. I think that's a huge overreaction.
My follow-up there would be, who is?
Is that your second question, or does that go with the first one?
That goes with the first one.
Let me look up the Big Ten standings, because off the top of my head, I would really have to.
Right now, the top two teams in the Big Ten, barring Purdue, since this game isn't over, so as of Monday at 5:50 p.m. Eastern time, if you're time stamping this, the two top teams in the Big Ten standings wise are Nebraska and Penn State. They're 5-0 and 4-0. I think okay. we can agree as a group that's not the two best teams in the Big Ten.
Right. Early on, it's like, have you watched any of these teams? Who have they played? Do they look good?
Purdue's third, so I'll give them that. They're 3-0, hopefully going to 4-0 after this Gonzaga game.
Purdue is the best team in the Big Ten.
Yes. Bar none, yes. But then who is it Illinois? I wouldn't say they've looked amazing. Indiana looked.
I would say. I would say. Bad.
I would say Michigan, but they just lost to Long Beach State, who then just lost to Illinois State.
I would say it's either Michigan State or Iowa.
So we can still maybe put Michigan State there. Iowa, yeah, like Iowa's because Iowa, they haven't played anybody they haven't beaten anybody, I should say. They lost to Creighton, but looked okay doing it. So
yeah,
but I would put Creighton in the same kind of vein as A&M, maybe a little better. No, definitely better, not crazy better. So
I never thought that Michigan State was going to be a bad team. I always thought they were going to be a very good team. I just didn't think they were of the same caliber as Purdue. So like, Michigan State has looked a little sus through for a few games, but they have played mostly like elite competition, save for James Madison. Although James Madison is like, they were ranked. Did James Madison lose? Did they lose already?
What do you got to talk about, James Madison?
We have to. anyway, James Madison is like, when they lost to James Madison, at first it was like, oh, that's a disaster. But then they got ranked, so like, they're like teetering on being a ranked team. So like, even that's like not like a horrendous loss. I still think Michigan State's good. Maybe they're the second best. Maybe Iowa, just because like, I also watched the Creighton game. That was one of the most fun games I watched this year.
That was the definition of it can be a sprint and a marathon somehow.
That was just roll the ball out there and let them run. Iowa's offense, I need to pull up Iowa and see how many points they're averaging per game. Because I'm
It's
pretty
pretty
sure
awesome.
I've checked in on Iowa. Yeah. So like they have the offense. So they've scored this year 110, 98, 84, and 88. I don't think Ohio State has scored 80 in a game yet. So you would like to think that if they're scoring 110 against a really bad non-conference, I don't expect Iowa to score 110 against anybody in the Big Ten, but you'd like to think that their offense will carry over and like that they're still going to have a very complete and potent offense in the Big Ten. If they're not scoring 110, maybe they're like scoring 80 consistently. So I think that Iowa's looked really good, even though they did lose to Creighton. But we both have Creighton in our Final Four, so like not going to knock Iowa for losing to Creighton.
Very true. Okay.
So
we'll say
roundabout answer is
Ohio
yes.
State.
Yes, overreaction Ohio State.
Okay. Where would you put Ohio State as right now? That's not even part of this. I'm just curious. Same as we had them, fourth or fifth?
Let me look.
I mean, technically right now they're ninth. That's just because they've only played. There's like
eight, I mean,
3-1, but
I would put them. Again, it's like you kind of throw the record out the window so far just because teams have been playing crappy tweens. I would put them behind Purdue, Michigan State, Illinois, Iowa. Maybe fifth. TBD on Indiana and Wisconsin.
Well, that's going to lead to the next question quite well.
Somewhere in like 5-7, I think.
Okay. Very fair. All right, my next one. If you are an Indiana fan, it's time to press the panic button on making the tournament. I worded that kind of weird, but is Indiana a tournament team? I'll say this. Indiana is not a tournament team. Is that an overreaction?
That is also an overreaction, yes. I think they are a tournament team.
So Indiana so far this year, they're 3-1. They're currently playing Louisville. They're up by 3 early in the second half. They beat Florida Gulf Coast by 6 at home. Florida Gulf Coast just lost to Norfolk State. They beat Army by 8. They beat Wright State by 9 without Trey Calvin, who averages 28 points a game.
Tanner Holden had like 25 in that game.
24-8-8, yep, which is going to play into my next point.
Tanner Holden.
And they lost to UConn by 20 in what was a tough-to-watch game. UConn just suffocated the life out of them. Now, the thing about Indiana all season was, okay, we don't know really what they're doing lineup-wise because they got a lot of big guys, but they got a lot of talented big guys, okay? Connor, Wright State out-rebounded them. Is that a panic button type thing? By 5.
I mean, I don't think that's like panic button, but
I don't know if they do well. I really don't.
I don't. Well, it was kind of like what we talked about weeks ago about Indiana was just like, where do you look? Like, where is the consistency in their lineup?
Yeah.
Like, where is like, I'm not even talking about like who is the guy. I mean, just like consistency. Like Xavier Johnson, I guess, is like he's a guy that you can depend on. I don't know if you want him to be like your best player, but like where is the consistency? Like, oh, we can even just saying we can rely on this guy for like 10 points. Like probably Xavier Johnson.
Who picked up 3 fouls in the first 8 minutes against UConn.
Probably like Khalil Ware. I think Khalil Ware, but like beyond that, like who can you even look at Indiana and be like, yeah, I can depend on them for like at least like 10 points a game. I don't think you can depend on Mackenzie Mbako for that yet, or like Malik Renew or Trey Galloway. Or I like, there's just not very much like consistency there. So like you said, they're not a tournament team, or like that's the stance. I think like 10-10 in the Big Ten probably makes the tournament ? And I feel like Indiana can scrape that together with this team. So I don't think they're in that danger zone of not being a tournament team yet. But boy, it's a little suspicious. Little suspicious.
I will say their first 4 games in December, Maryland, who isn't looking as tough as they were, but then Michigan, Auburn, Kansas. So we're going to learn a lot about them in that 4-game stretch, I think.
See, I think they could win all those games, but Kansas type of that, like
I
potentially.
Think, yeah, Auburn's nothing special. Michigan is a very big question mark, and yeah, Maryland stinks. So I do agree.
They could lose all those games.
That's why we're going to learn about them. That's why we're going to learn.
They could win.
They're going to lose. They could win by 85. Kansas is going to beat the brakes off them.
That's correct.
But other than that, yeah. Okay. So my third one, Doug McDaniel is the best guard in the Big Ten. Is that an overreaction?
Yeah, that is an overreaction. Yeah.
So I will say early on this season, Doug McDaniel is averaging 21 a game, about 3.5 rebounds, 6 assists. He's shooting 52% from the floor on 15 attempts. He's shooting somehow 41% from 3 on 7 attempts a game. That's elite. And 85% from the free throw line. So Doug McDaniel has been pretty much the reason Michigan has started how they've started. Obviously, you would look at Tyson Walker as pretty much keeping Michigan State afloat at this point, and Boo Booey is all of Northwestern. So there is all of those things as well. But I would agree this is an overreaction, but I'll say this. Doug McDaniels looked phenomenal to start the season. DMV guy.
Yeah.
Never doubt the DMV guys. That's all I'm going to say.
I could be wrong, but pretty confident in saying all of those numbers you listed, except maybe rebounds, those are all going to go down somewhat. Like they played UNC Asheville.
If they don't, he's an All-American. So.
Right. They played UNC Asheville, which are they out of the Big South? Question mark.
Sounds either that or the Big Sky. Or is that TV show?
Hold on. The Big Sky is a conference. It's got like Montana and stuff. Right.
I think it's also
UNC Asheville. Yeah, Big South. Big South. They played UNC Asheville, Youngstown State, Long Beach State, which they lost. and
St. John's.
And they beat St. John's, which I don't know what to do with St. John's quite yet.
They might stink.
But like Doug McDaniel looked really good. And Michigan could get lucky since Doug McDaniel is so small. Like he's like, I think he's listed as 6 foot, but he's not 6 feet tall. He's like maybe 5'10", 5'11". It's tough to get drafted when you're like 5'10", 5'11", and like, you know, $165, $175. So like they could potentially get lucky where like Doug McDaniel, you know, averages 16 or 17 points per game this year, is like second team all Big Ten, but like has like no NBA draft stock and ends up coming back for like 2 more years because like why not if it's that or the G League. But Tyson Walker is better than him. No offense. Terrence Shannon is better than him. Boo Booey is better than him. We'll see as time goes on. I think Bruce Thornton is probably better than him. So
that might be a little bit of a hot take.
This is the Big Ten's a guards league now. And I think Doug McDaniel might be like the fourth or fifth best guard in the league.
Interesting. Okay. So overreaction on that one. 3 for 3 so far on overreactions. Which I kind of figured. I mean, that's the kind of the point of this game is to, you know, calm down some of the early talk. Okay. And my last one is kind of to the same point. Michigan is a better team without Hunter Dickinson.
I don't think that's an overreaction.
Yeah, I think it's
right,
true, and I can't
right
give a reason.
Now. Like, check back with me in, like, late January, and if Michigan is, like, 6 and if they're, like, 4-7 in the Big Ten, then I would say, okay, just kidding. No, they're not better without him. But I can tell you I have friends that are Michigan grads who, you know, have season tickets, and basically what I have been told about Michigan and the kind of offense they want to run is it's tough to have Hunter Dickinson on the team if you don't surround him with good shooters, because teams like basically like last year's team, when they didn't have very many good shooters, they didn't need to respect, like they didn't have to respect, like I'm trying to, Juwan's son, was it Jet or Jace? I get the name. It was Jet, right? Jet went to the league.
Yeah, Jet
went like to the they didn't have to respect Jet Howard or Doug McDaniel or Terrence Williams when the ball went to Hunter because they weren't consistent.
Yeah.
And so the whole Michigan offense is just like dump the ball down to Hunter and see if he can score with the left-handed hook over like four defenders.
It's Purdue's offense.
So I was told that now it's Michigan is not easy. That Michigan is having a better – they're running a better offense now, allegedly, because they have big athletic guys that can kind of shoot, and it's not getting as stagnant and stuck on Hunter Dickinson. Now, they did just lose to Long Beach State, and I think their mascot is the Dirtbags, which is really funny. So they did just lose to Long Beach State. So again, check back in like January. And if it's like an absolute dumpster fire, then I would go back and say like, nope, just kidding. They need him back. But for now I would say, no, that's not an overreaction.
Yeah. It's funny. I had this idea to do this on this podcast and I came up with that question before the Long Beach State game. And I just haven't adjusted it. I kind of just assumed they'd win that game. So I thought they'd be 4-0 when I asked that question, but the point still does remain. They looked really good through three games. And I mean, people were like almost ranking them, you know. So I do have a fifth one because I want to start and end with an Ohio State one. It's an overreaction to say this is the last season we are going to get Roddy Gale in Columbus.
Yes, I think that is an overreaction.
I agree.
I was thinking about that earlier today, actually, as I do. I think about Ohio State basketball when I'm driving my car through the city.
That's psychotic behavior.
When I'm on this
week specifically, thinking about Ohio State basketball is psychotic behavior.
You know, I'm walking through the office at work. I'm like driving from Kroger back to my house. I was thinking about how last year, in December, we wrote an article about could we lose Malachi Branham after he had like one game where he scored 20 points. And people were like, you guys are crackheads. And then he was a first-round pick.
I basically said we were crackheads for that take. Yeah, I was wrong about that one too.
And now Roddy Gale scored, like, I think at least 13 points in, like, three of the four games. And I was thinking, could we also lose Roddy Gale? But then I just thought of, like, how many other college sophomores are also averaging, like, 13 or 14 points at this point of the season and are shooting, like, 35% from three and, like, also make boneheaded turnovers sometimes. And I was like, I just don't know if what Roddy Gale is doing sticks out all that much on the national like landscape. Like, I don't think he jumps off the page quite as much to everybody else as he does to Ohio State fans. So, no, I don't think he's gone unless he keeps this up all year. If he averages like 15 points a game, maybe.
Yeah, I think right now I don't have a pull up in front of me, but I don't know his points, but I know he's averaging like seven rebounds and six assists a game or something.
If he can 14.8 points, 6.8 rebounds, four assists. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready, man. Keep the stats up. And he's shooting 31% from three.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, those numbers don't. The assist numbers are lower than I thought. So that doesn't really, like you said, it doesn't jump out on the page at you. So yeah, I was just curious because that was a conversation I saw in the Ohio State community during the Western Michigan game. But I do agree. I don't think that Graham Ike goes to Gonzaga.
Yeah, where was he at before? Wyoming?
Yeah, Wyoming. I didn't know he went to Gonzaga. I thought he graduated.
Anyway. Roddy will put his name in the draft, though.
For sure. And I've said this for years, there's literally no downside to doing that. So I think everybody should do it every year. Like, just do it. There's no downside to getting feedback. So
would be a little surprised if he stayed in. I'm not even the smartest. Like, there are so many people that know more about basketball and college basketball and the transition to the NBA than me. But like, for one thing that I can see is that his 3-point shot is very slow.
It is.
Like his release, his catch and release, he doesn't do a ton off the dribble. His release on a three is very slow. And maybe against Western Michigan, when you're shooting over a guard who's like 6'2", you can get away with that. But I feel like when you're in the NBA,
against Drew Holiday and Tyrese Halliburton,
right. In the NBA, you're not gonna be able to get that shot off. He also, with the ball in his hands, he's averaging, I think, four assists, which is great for him. But he's also averaging basically three turnovers a game, and they're mostly like just head scratching, like mental. Like, every time Roddy Gale turns the ball over, I look over at Jake Diebler. Friend of the pod, Jake Diebler, and his hands are always on his temples, like rubbing his head. Like, why did you do that? He had a turnover at the end of the first half of the either the Merrimack game or the Western game. It might have been Merrimack, where he like tried. There's like 5 seconds left. Ohio State definitely could have inbounded the ball, taken a few dribbles to half court and gotten up like a shot with a prayer. But Roddy tried to inbound it all the way to the other side of the floor and just threw like an absolute like Zach Wilson floated up in the air pass that like the other team just jumped up and tipped away, and it was a turnover to end the half. And Diebler was just like rubbing his head like, why would you even do that? And so there's stuff that Roddy definitely needs to work on still.
That's all I got. Hello?
Yep, you still there?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, that's all I got.
Let me see. While you were talking, I was looking at standings. I could give you one or two. Here's one. Is this an overreaction? Nebraska is going to make the NCAA tournament.
I was going to ask that. no. Wait, how'd you word the question?
It's a statement. Nebraska is going to make the NCAA tournament.
No.
So that's not an overreaction, you're saying?
I'm saying they won't make the tournament.
Oh, okay. I was asking. Okay. It was always that an overreaction. So, okay. Nebraska, I think they might be higher in KenPom than Ohio State is right now.
Yeah, that's not great. But
they are, let me look. I feel like they're right around the same. Ohio State is 53. Nebraska is 46.
I feel like Nebraska does this a lot. They start the season 10-1, 9-1, because they didn't play anybody with a pull. I mean, they've beaten Lindenwood, Florida A&M, Rider, Stony Brook, and they beat Oregon State by 20, but Oregon State is in a dismal place right now. So, I mean, they're not going to lose. I mean, they play Duquesne, Fullerton. They do play Creighton, which is pretty cool, actually. I don't remember them doing that every year.
They're going to get blasted
four games in a row because they play Creighton. Then they're at the Barn at Minnesota. I think Minnesota beats them. Then they get Michigan State and Kansas State. They're going to lose all four of those games. Maybe they beat Minnesota, but at the Barn, I might take the Gophers there. So they could very easily go from 7-0 to 7-4. I just don't know how many Big Ten games they're going to win. As low as I am on like Maryland and on, you know, like some of these teams now, I still think they're better than Nebraska. You know, even like I was drinking the Minnesota Kool-Aid for a second, and then they lost to Missouri. But I don't know. I don't think they're a tournament team, though. No, if they are, they have to probably
keep going.
Go. Yeah, I'm trying to think. They probably have to go 12-8 in conference, and I don't see it.
To overcome the lack of wins against good teams in the non-conference,
right? Yeah, because they'd have no. Barring they don't beat a Kansas State or a Creighton. Like, if they beat Creighton, I'm out the window on this. They're different. And even if they beat a Kansas State, they're different. And Purdue still can't shoot, by the way. So if they do any of those things, then this is a completely different conversation because they have those kinds of wins. But if their best non-conference win going into, like, let's say they're on the bubble, is Florida A&M or Lindenwood, you know, you got to win a lot of conference games. And they'll have their chances to get quality wins. But then you run into the issue of, okay, the Big Ten really does stink this year, which it might. How many quality wins are you even getting in the Big Ten? You know, and that's, you know, normally that's not an issue you have to worry about. So that's where it gets kind of interesting with this conversation.
Okay, then here's another one that I thought of while we were talking about, you know, His Holiness Roderick Gale Jr. Does Ohio State have the best backcourt combo in the Big Ten?
No.
now that you've had some time to really watch AJ Hogard,
right,
does Ohio State have the best two guards duo? And Coleman Hawkins is not a guard, so he doesn't count.
He's been kind of not great so far to start the year anyway. No, but I will say Terrence Shannon and their freshman Dre Lawhorn could be the answer. No, I don't think they do. I think they need to just be a little more consistent. I think Tyson Walker and Boo Booey maybe on their own make up. Like that backcourt of for Northwestern with Boo Booey and Ryan Langborn has been really, really good. Kind of been winning Northwestern games. So they're up there. I still think the backcourt of Jameer Young and Deshaun Harris-Smith is still really good. I just think they need to figure some things out. He's having some freshman pains. And then when it comes to Michigan State, the question is it Tyson Walker and A.J. Hogard, or could you even argue it's Tyson Walker and Jay Nagins? Both haven't been great, but And then also, I think we're kind of forgetting, again, the best team in the conference. Braden Smith and Fletcher Loyer have both seems to improved from last year. Braden Smith has looked really, really good. So, yeah, we'll see. I think there's very, very much a chance that they will come January, February. But right now, I'll say it's probably an overreaction.
What's funny is a couple nights ago, you know, as I do in my spare time, I recognize that Bruce Thornton and Roddy Gale together were averaging, and they still are, about 30 points per game together. 30.1 is what they're averaging together. And I thought, huh, that's got to be the highest. It's got to be the highest, right, in the conference as far as backcourt duos, right? The problem is, when I looked, Tyson Walker by himself was averaging 27. So
then I was like,
ah, shit. Well, that ruins the article because you can just do Tyson Walker and then insert any other Michigan State guard, Hogard, Akins, even like Trey Holloman, and they are going to be higher than 30.1 because Tyson Walker was averaging 27 by himself. I was like, yeah, okay, never mind.
Yeah, Tyson Walker has been phenomenal. That's really the only way to put it.
Okay, so we got like the Big Ten wraparound shoot around there. I guess this isn't an overreaction or not. I did want to talk about basically could Ohio State actually end up, because you had them finishing fourth, I had them finishing fifth. Could Ohio State actually finish like second, third, fourth, something like that? Not because what we thought about Ohio State is different than what they have been. Like, assuming that what we thought about Ohio State preseason is the same as it's been, same as expected, could they finish up in that top four because some of these other teams that we thought were going to be better are not nearly as good as we thought they were going to be? Like, is this a Big Ten where they could end up with like seven NCAA tournament bids? Because it's still early, so I'm not willing to commit to it yet. But like, man, there are some teams that I thought were going to be. There are some teams that I thought were going to be much better. That once you watch them with your eyeballs, I'm thinking, I don't know if Ohio State will beat all of these teams. But like, even watching Michigan State, I was like, Ohio State absolutely can hang with Michigan State. Not even a question. They can hang with them.
No, look, I asked you if Ohio State being second in the conference was an overreaction. You said yes. I never gave my answer. I'm not sure it is. Like, I think they could finish second in the conference. Honestly, Purdue might beat every team, and then you have after that, it's a complete toss up. I really don't know. Now, there's a lot of teams that I think could figure it out: Illinois, Indiana, Maryland. You know, and then that could change. But as of right now, Ohio State is there's two teams, maybe three, that have outplayed expectations so far. There's like a couple that are just I feel the same about, and a lot that have, I think, been disappointing. Ohio State's they're exactly how, like, where I thought they were to start the season, right? They beat the teams they're supposed to beat. They lost A&M. That was a toss-up game. They looked okay doing it. They didn't get ran off the court or anything. They lost by 7, whatever. You know, they beat the pants off Merrimack and Western Michigan like they were supposed to. Oakland was kind of a close game, but Oakland's looked pretty good since then. And, you know, it was the first game of the season. So I feel the exact same how I felt about Ohio State going into the season. And there's a lot of teams that I feel a lot lower on. So I compared this Ohio State team last week to the 2018 team, not in the sense of like who they are, how they play, anything like that. This team doesn't have a Kade Bates Diop or anything like that. But that team in 2018, while they were obviously very talented, you don't go, what were they, like 15-3 in conference?
Yeah, I think so.
With two losses to Penn State is the funniest thing I've ever heard. So, yes, you don't go 15-3 without being talented, but that team objectively did benefit from the fact the Big Ten only had 4 bids that year, which is crazy to think about. It was just a down year for the conference. They benefited from that. And I think this team could, you know, I asked that question to you 2 weeks ago or a week ago, where I was like, you know, is this the case of Ohio State's going to end up benefiting from, but the Big Ten might be worse than we think it is, or is Ohio State in that group? And right now I would lean towards, yeah, they're going to benefit from, you know, Maryland isn't as good as I thought. That's probably a loss turned to a win, right? Michigan State. I'd chalk that up to a loss. I don't know what that already is. You know, games, even games like at Rutgers and stuff like that, like, no, they're not as scary anymore. Like, there's just – there's certain games that I just think that maybe I tallied as a loss to begin the season that right now they're more of a toss-up.
Yeah, I think all that I've seen through four games is that I don't think this team is going to be a disaster like last year was when they went 16-19. It's like, can this team win 20 games? I think they can win 20 games. So like, I do not think anything, it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be a disaster like it was last year. I can't say confirm, we haven't seen it yet, but I feel pretty darn confident saying like, it's not going to be a disaster like last year. Other than that, I haven't learned a ton about this team, but I did feel like I've learned a decent amount about some of the other teams that I thought were going to be really good that I've watched. And I'm like, man, teams that I thought, like when Ohio State plays Michigan State, when they play Maryland, when these teams, and I would say home or road, doesn't matter. I don't think Ohio State's beating them. Now it's like, I think that they can hang with them. And maybe, like you said, maybe teams that you would have just chalked up as a loss without too much thinking, now it's like, oh, maybe they can steal one against Maryland, except they don't go to Maryland. I don't think they win in East Lansing anyway, but that's beside the point.
Right. And we already talked about the fact that, as you just mentioned, Ohio State's non-conference schedule is very favorable, or conference schedule, sorry, is very favorable. So you mix in a favorable schedule with a probably down year in the conference, and you kind of run into like, this has to be a good year now. Like, you're kind of hitting, like you said, you're like, you think they'll win 20. I'm at the point where like, they have to win 20, you know, they have to do these, because these quality wins aren't as quality as maybe we thought they might be early on. And that's, you know, normally, like you said, that's normally not an issue that you have in the Big Ten. So that's kind of what you have to, maybe now these non-conference games, like that Alabama game, is looking a little more important, because now that's a Q1 win that, you know, a couple of Big Ten games you might not get the chance to get. So it changes a little
bit. Right. Like the floor is raising, I guess, is what I feel like. Quickly. The floor is what I feel like is changing. And I feel like now people can breathe easy that like, hey, it's not going to be a sub 500 season again. We had the Western Michigan game on Sunday afternoon. Not like you're not going to learn a ton in a game where they were up by 31. The only reason this was a 17-point win was because Kalen Etzler and Bowen Hardman and Austin Parks got in the last few minutes. They played Zed Key and Felix Akpara together for several minutes. Like, there was a lineup that included Devin Royal, Dale Bonner, Scotty Middleton, Felix Akpara, like that. And that is not an offensive lineup. So like, the lead shrunk to like 17 or whatever, but like, this was an absolute blowout pretty much from start to finish. So there's not like a ton to take away.
No, it was fun to watch. It was one of those where it's like, it's nice they did it. You know, Western Michigan's bad. I put that in the preview. Like, there are games against MAC teams that if it's a close game, that if it's kind of a sweater, you don't really worry about. 2 years ago against Akron, that was obviously they won at the last minute. That didn't really bother me because that Akron team was a tournament team. This is not one of those teams. Western Michigan is not good. But then you look at it, their last game, they played Northwestern, and Northwestern only beat them by 4. So it's like, and Northwestern beat Dayton. So it's like, I know it's tough to do that, you know, comparing game stuff, but it was nice to just see them put, even the Merrimack game was close at the half. It was nice to finally see them just get out ahead. I think they're up 29-8 at one point. You know, a game this reminded me of was the Northwestern game last year to start the Big Ten season. They just beat the brakes off them to start it. You know, second half was kind of a nothing burger. I know people wanted them to finish better. I don't care how you finish when your finishing lineup includes 3 walk-ons. So, you know, I think Roddy like, played 9 minutes in the second half. Like, that's going to happen.
It's like Bruce, come back. Bruce Thornton was like plus 35 in the game.
Yeah.
And like, he didn't play a whole lot in the final 10 minutes. So, I mean, that just goes to show you that like, when the starters were in, which is the lineup that they are going to operate with, you know, for the most part, whenever they are actually in a close game, like this game was not competitive.
We got a first half Bowen Hardman sighting. You know, that's how
it's the game went. It's the coaches recognizing that, like, hey, we are going to win this game, so we want to go ahead and let's give Zed and Felix on the floor at the same time. Let's do that for like 3 or 4 minutes and see how that looks. Let's throw a lineup out there with Dale and with Devin Royal and with Scotty and Felix, four guys that, you know, are not going to be in your top, you know, four scorers, and see how it looks. Because it benefits us in the long run to see how that works. Even if it means we win this game by 17 instead of 35, like who really cares? I thought that Zed played the best defense that I've seen.
Active hands, man.
I was very concerned about Zed being able to play defense at a lighter weight, like not being able to like defend in the post while also still not being fast enough to defend on the perimeter. And if you're a big who can't defend the post and you're too slow to guard the perimeter, like respectfully, what are you really good for? And he had a possession where the guy like tried to like back him down. I forget which guy it was, but he tried to back Zed down and it didn't work out. So he kept dribbling. He brought it back up to the perimeter and Zed like chased him off the perimeter. And then the guy tried to back him back down. I mean, he's at like 15 or 16 dribbles now. It was kind of funny. And he gets him back in the post and then he spins and tries to shoot. And then Zed blocks the shot. So he was able to stay with him, move to the perimeter, stay with him, come back inside and still block the shot. He had that block. He had a second block and he had a steal that led to a full court dunk. Like probably the best defense I've seen from Zed in his career.
Yeah, he was phenomenal. He's like very, I think it's very quietly averaging a double double. He's embraced that role.
He's at coming 11.8 and 7.3.
Wow, he must have had no rebounds in the Western Michigan game then, because he was at 12 and 9 going into it. Oh, okay, yeah. So that hurts, but he was at 12 and 9 going into it. So, he's really done a good job embracing that role off the bench and, you know, coming in when they need him. He's kind of the sixth man. And I think he's just been great in that role, and very happy with what I've seen from him early on. And you know, I don't know, there's not much to take away in my opinion from that game. It was just they hit some shots.
I know this is
looked awesome. So
this is going to be old news by the time this comes out, but I do want to say that Indiana is now down 7 to Louisville. And Louisville, I believe they did lose to Chattanooga earlier this season. So Indiana is losing to Louisville. Louisville is going to be a really bad team again. Like, I think it's safe to say that, like, they might only win a couple games in the ACC. And Indiana is, they are going to try to fight and scrap and claw for a win over Louisville here. As the concern grows for Indiana basketball.
I mean, hell, man, I've never seen someone save their job like Kenny Payne has the last this weekend. They're ready to run him out of town. Then they almost beat Texas, and now they might beat Indiana. He's going to save his job in one weekend. Credit to him. Still 7 minutes left, though, so we'll see.
And I guess last thing before we get out of here, we're not going to really talk about Oregon or Santa Clara because personally I don't know anything about Santa Clara, and I know – very little about Oregon this year. But they do, Ohio State knows they're going to play Alabama on Friday night. And that is going to be a very, very, very tough matchup for the Buckeyes. Especially, I think Grant Nelson is going to be a tough matchup because I'm not sure who is going to guard Grant. Who's going to guard Grant Nelson? And then I guess the second question would be, okay, if you know who's going to guard, like, can they guard him?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Who can effectively guard Grant Nelson on this team? Probably nobody.
Yeah, Grant Nelson, for people unaware, North Dakota State transfer, correct? North Dakota State?
I believe so. I can
confirm. He's kind of a unicorn. He's like 6'10" with a pure shot. So he's averaging 13.8 and 6.8 this year so far. But then you have Marcus Sears, who's averaging almost 25 and 5, basically. 20 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, that is. And then Aaron Estrada, he's a transfer from, I believe, where did Estrada come from?
Hofstra.
I knew it was a purple school. So you have Aaron Estrada.
Hofstra is blue and yellow, but Carry on.
Now I'm colorblind. he's averaging 15 a game. And then you have Jaren Stevenson, who's a freshman from Chapel Hill, who's averaging 10 a game. So you have, similar to Ohio State, you have four guys in double figures. Kind of cool to see Latrell Wrightsell on that team. He just transferred to Bama. I covered him in high school. So very good player. So shout out to him. Yeah.
They're going to be – I mean, they are –
very, 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 very good. They haven't breaks off everybody they play, but they haven't played anybody. So,
yeah, KenPom has Alabama as the number two most efficient offense in the country. They're number six in KenPom, number two in adjusted offense, number 22 in adjusted defense. I believe in the AP poll they moved up from 22 to 17 this week.
Yeah, Marcus Sears also had a quote saying that he doesn't want to let other teams score over 50 on them. So they definitely are confident.
Every team has scored 50, though, just to be noted. Every team they've played this year, I'm pretty sure, has scored 50.
I actually think they did hold somebody to 46, but still.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be – they have scored – like you said, they haven't played anybody tough yet, but they still – like we talked – like I talked about Iowa, when you're scoring, they're averaging – they are averaging 102 points per game. They're averaging 102 points per game. So you'd like to think that even if when they're playing better competition, they're not going to average 102. But damn, you'd like to think that they've got their chemistry down. They know what works for them. And they're still going to score a ton of points, even against good teams. I just – it's going to be, you know, Roddy Gale lining up with Aaron Estrada, Bruce Thornton lining up with Mark Sears, who is an Ohio University transfer 2 years ago.
That's going to be an awesome matchup. So much fun.
And then I don't know who they roll out, who they use as like a traditional center. I don't know if it's like, I don't know if they really have like a traditional center, but like I'm not sure who, because Grant Nelson is averaging 13.8. I think he was averaging more than that before their most recent game, so he must have had an off night. But like you said, he's a very big, he's a tall guy who also can shoot it. He was like a 20 point per game ish scorer at North Dakota State. And I don't know if Ohio State has anybody that they can guard him with. Maybe they'll try Evan Mahaffey. But if you want to score points to keep up with Alabama, you probably can't keep Evan Mahaffey on the floor for more than 15 or 20 minutes. So it's going to be a tough matchup.
This is – I don't know if this is going to age poorly. Most of my takes have. This could be where I think maybe we see what Scotty Middleton can bring defensively. Just because he's not tall enough, but he is long enough to maybe kind of at least give Grant Nelson some fits. He's quick enough. That's the biggest thing. He can play good enough perimeter defense, and also he's obviously not as much of a liability on offense as Evan Mahaffey is, and which I don't think Evan Mahaffey's been terrible on offense. He is limited at this point. I think there's more upside, obviously, with Scotty. So I think Scotty Middleton could be a huge player in this game. Now, I don't love any time you're relying on a freshman to be a big player in a big game like this, but we'll see.
Right. Like, that's a huge assignment if they do try that at some point. And it's just like, you can't.
The big question is, can Jameson Battle play some defense? I mean, that's if Jameson Battle can actually play some defense and be effective, that would be ginormous because you need him on the field, floor for 35 minutes. Now, the question is, can he? I don't know.
See, and I didn't even suggest him because like I would be he is Grant Nelson sized. Like if he was a better defender, like that's a good matchup, but he's not a good defender. Yeah. And so like, I don't even think they'll try it. So that's what I'm saying. Like, you really don't want like a freshman, like with Scotty, you don't want to have to hope and pray that Scotty Middleton can stop him. You also don't want to leave Evan Mahaffey on the floor for probably more than 20 minutes in a game where you're going to have to probably score 75 points minimum to win this game.
I will say, though, if you keep a lineup out there of like Thornton, Gale, Mahaffey, Battle, Zed Key, then I don't think Mahaffey's limitations on offense is that big of a deal because you have four other guys that can score the ball. Now, when you get into the weird lineups of like Bonner, Middleton, Mahaffey, Akpar, and it's like, okay, who is scoring on this team? That's a whole different thing. But I think you just have to kind of hide Mahaffey in a lineup of really good scorers and hope Mahaffey can play the defense that, I mean, what you brought him in to do.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a tough game. I don't think Ohio State, if I had to give a guess, I do not think they win the game against Alabama. My guess is they probably lose the opening game against Alabama, and then they will probably win their second game that is on Saturday, which will start right after the Ohio State-Michigan football game. That's my guess.
Which Connor also has Ohio State losing, by the way. So Connor has Ohio State having a great athletic weekend.
Yeah, we can. I was going to close with that. If you're ready, we can give our predictions for that. We can give our predictions for the game because yeah, I'm a broken man. I'm definitely a humbled and broken man from the last 2 years.
Yeah, you want to go first? You're the negative one. I have a winning. So.
Yeah, sure. I've got. I think right now I've got Michigan 24, Ohio State 17.
That's fair. I could see that.
I was at 24-14 before they threw Harbaugh in prison, or I guess he died, actually, that they're acting.
Jim Harbaugh's dead, okay?
I actually had 24-14 before Jim Harbaugh passed away.
They're saying Jerron Moore's crying about saying this is for you, for Jim Harbaugh, while he's got his feet up at a five-star hotel eating king crab legs. It's crazy what's happening right now.
So, yeah, him passing away to me was a three-point swing. So I went 24-17. Michigan, again, hope I'm wrong, would love to be wrong, but it just each of the last two years, Ohio State fans have been very confident that they're going to beat Michigan. 2 years ago, if they're confident because that's just a way of life. Last year, it was like, oh, you just wait till we get you at your place. We're going to get you back. And then Ohio State got absolutely shellacked again. So I'm just preparing myself to be hurt again. And I'm just not super confident. I'm confident Ohio State's not going to get blown out. That's about it.
So I have Ohio State winning. I had a 31-17. I've pulled it down to 28-17. I think this is going to be a Trey Henderson and Marvin Harrison masterclass. I've always been very high on Trey Henderson, even when people hated him last year. Now the world is coming back around. Oh, shocker, someone being hurt actually affects their performance. Wow, I didn't see that coming. Anyway, now that he's healthy, people are coming back around. I think the difference in this game is the fact that kind of the same difference in the Penn State game. One team has Marvin Harrison Jr., and one team does not. And I think that's going to make for the difference. I think McCord and JJ is kind of a wash. I think they're both good. I don't think either of them are great. So I'll wash that one. I think the defenses are both pretty elite. So kind of wash that. But Ohio State has 18. So.
All right. Well, that'll wrap the basketball and the football for this week. So if you found us on the website, make sure to also subscribe on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you get your music and podcasts. Make sure you get notified when we put out new podcasts every week, as well as all of the football content that the Land Grant Podcast Network is putting out. You're getting at least two episodes per day from Land Grant on football/basketball, as well as most of the press conferences from men's and women's basketball, as well as football. There's just plenty of stuff that's on there that you can listen to on your drive to work, or if you work from home, or all kinds of stuff going on. You've got all kinds of stuff to listen to there.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. Like, when it comes to covering Ohio State as a whole, I don't think anybody does it better than us. Maybe the Lantern, just because, like, that's the student organization that, you know, they give every sport some love. We're covering wrestling. We're covering golf. Obviously, Thomas Costello covers women's basketball better than anybody. We got you on the men's basketball side. Obviously, we got you with the football content. I'm writing up a piece now, top 8 individual performances for Ohio State ever against Michigan. That's kind of been really fun to research. So if you're listening to this on Wednesday or Thursday when this drops. When do we drop this? Thursday?
Thursday.
Yeah.
Do you have Chris Olave in there somewhere from like 5 years ago?
He's close. I don't know if he'll make the cut.
When he blocked that punt and hit a touchdown?
Yeah, it's close. There's obvious ones like Troy Smith in 06, Haskins in 18. Chris Spielman had a game where he had like 37-something tackles. David Boston had a game. He had like 10 catches for 200 yards and 2 touchdowns. There's been a lot of really good performances in this game. What's his head? The running back's on there. He had a huge game. J.K. Dobbins. Sorry. Jesus. So, yeah, there's a Olave. That performance is close. It might make the list. Might not.
I'm wondering if we're literally in our closing and then we just start talking about it. I'm wondering if Carnell Tate has a big game. I'm wondering if Carnell Tate has a big game in this iteration of the game, kind of like Olave did, which was Olave's coming out party.
Yeah, coming out party. Actually,
in
I think
2018, whatever it was.
19, I think. I don't think it wouldn't be his coming out party, obviously. I think Emeka Egbuka is going to have a huge game as well. I think he's healthy again. So much attention on Harrison. I think that Egbuka kind of, not in the same way as the Notre Dame game, just because I think Harrison's going to have a big game too. But I think Egbuka is going to have a big game. Kind of like last year, he played well. So we'll see. I'm so sick of the conversation around this game and the conversation around Michigan and blah, 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 blah. I just want these dudes. I just want to see 22 dudes on the field playing 60 minutes of football. That's all I want. Saturday can't come quick enough. This is always such a long week because I love Feast Week. And like you said, this is genuinely one of the best weeks of sports there is. You got college basketball all day, every day. You got Thanksgiving NFL. You've got rivalry week. I didn't say that great. This weekend, you know, you got the Iron Bowl, which is going to stink, but it's still, you know, Alabama Auburn is still kind of fun. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on, but yeah, it's, you know, we got Monday Night Football tonight, Eagles Chiefs. That's a big one.
It's not a real Saturday until you've got 22 dudes.
Amen.
To be honest.
I don't know how many things you plugged because I wasn't exactly listening, but you can follow us at Bucketheads LGPN on Twitter. Sometimes I engage a lot. Sometimes I don't. I don't like when people yell at me, so I try not to engage too much anymore, or defend, I should say, because people don't yell at you they only yell at you for positive affirmation for some reason, which is a weird thing that we do now. If I tweeted everybody sucks, people wouldn't yell at me as much as I say everybody doesn't suck. That should be backwards, but we live in kind of a negative world, Connor. So people yell at you for defending your favorite team nowadays. Oh, call me crazy. Where are you?
You can follow me at Lemons_Connor on Twitter, LEMONS_Connor. I don't feed the trolls as much as Justin, but I do occasionally feed the trolls. I'll hand them, you know, a little nibble every now and then. So anyway, we appreciate you guys.
I like to have discourse. It doesn't always have to be, you know, oh, I think you're stupid, and oh, I think you're dumb. Like, oh, maybe we can just talk about basketball for a second. Why does it always gotta be dumb losers, you know? It's weird. That's why I try to, like, everyone's like, Chris Holman's a stupid fucking loser. It's like, well, you don't got to say that. That's rude. That's mean.
Yeah, Justin will bring the numbers. Like when somebody said he's never won anything.
So literally, it's so much fun.
Somebody said he's never won anything. And, you know, Justin responded with, I'm pretty sure he just won a game yesterday. So, hey, there's one win, so you're wrong. Anyway, thanks for listening to you. If you got to this point, we appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Watch the football game. Watch the basketball games. It's a great, great week for sports. Great weekend for sports. God help us if we lose to Michigan again this weekend. I'm going to need medical assistance if that's the case. Anyway, have a great weekend. Go Bucks.